So as you have your Bibles, or your devices, whatever you have, I'll invite you to read along with me as I read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This is God's Word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of the Lord. You know, different events throughout history have elicited all kinds of responses. Negative, positive. One particular event took place in May 28, 1934, in Canada, Ontario, Canada, where a woman had quintuplets. Now, the reason this event was so incredible was that these were the first quintuplets to survive infancy and eventually to go on all the way into adulthood. It was such an amazing thing. And in fact, Ontario was so consumed with this, and even beyond Ontario, that for about the next 9 years, these children's lives were on the front page of the newspaper. What they ate, what toys they got, what was going on in their lives. The world, you could say, in a lot of ways, was consumed with it. And sure enough, that is an amazing story. Quintuplets, five. But yeah, what about just one? What's so amazing about just one child being born? What's so amazing about one child being born that turned a nation upside down? What was so amazing about this child that it prompted a king to issue an executive order throughout the entire country that every boy, two and under, should be exterminated, killed, which would mean his very own sons as well? This was such a thing that was well known. It wasn't done in the corner of the world, that even Caesar Augustus, this very Caesar here, wrote about Herod, and said, "It is better to be swine than to be his son." Meaning that because he was Jewish and didn't eat pork, it was safer to be a swine in Herod's household than his very own son. But why? What about this boy that elicited this kind of response that wasn't done in the corner, but yet spread throughout the nation? Look at the responses in this passage. We have all kinds of responses. First, we meet the shepherds, and the shepherds are afraid, filled with great fear, as the text says. And then you have the angels praising, glorifying God. And then you have the people marveling. And then you have Mary pondering, storing these things away in her heart. And then in the end, the shepherds leave, praising and glorifying. All for the birth of a child, of a little boy. What's going on here? Why would this kind of event create this kind of reaction in a nation? This kind of response? What is it about this boy? Well, as our text opens up, we are met with this kind of setting the scene, as you would say. We see this man, this woman, Joseph, Mary. They're together. They're engaged. And she's pregnant out of wedlock. They're on their way because a census was ordered to be taken. And so they're on their way to Bethlehem. Now, as Josh read to us and preached on last night, she had magnified the Lord, extolled the Lord. She understood what was going on, not fully, but she knew this wonderful thing, the Savior had come. But yet here she is, engaged, out of wedlock, going to Bethlehem because it's an order, because a census needs to be taken. And there were no reservations to make. So when they get there, there's no room for them at any place to stay. So where they end up staying is in a place where they keep animals. But this text just moves right over it. Keeps moving right on through that she gave birth, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger. But yet it's hard for us really to understand, to grab a hold of. This is probably not a very peaceful time for Mary and Joseph. Probably not a stressless time, but more of a stressful time in some ways. Filled with joy, filled with wondering, pondering, but yet wasn't easy. And here we meet them as they come into Bethlehem, and she gives birth and puts him in a manger, a food trough. And that's where our scene opens up. But then quickly, this scene fades, and we open up on another scene. And we're in a field. It's nighttime, and the shepherds are taking care of their sheep, doing what they do, scaring away predators, being on the alert, being awake. And they probably didn't expect what was going to come next. That an angel of the Lord comes. An angel of the Lord comes, and they were struck with incredible fear. Great fear. And the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people." Good news of great joy for all the people. That's interesting, because Israel probably knew a lot about bad news of great sorrow for some. You see, as Israel, God's covenant people, as you read through the Old Testament, you see that they were set apart, God's chosen people. Jacob had 12 sons, and from those 12 sons came the 12 tribes of Israel. And from those tribes came the nation. This is the nation of Israel, God's covenant people, the people God set apart to himself, to be set apart. But yet, God's people did not worship him as they should. As you read throughout Israel's history, you see that eventually the nation became divided. 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. And that eventually, because of idolatry and they refused to worship the Lord, the 10 tribes are conquered by a country called Assyria. And then sometime later, the other 2 tribes in the south are conquered by Babylon. But yet, even though they go into exile, it's not the end of the story. You see, God had promised them a Savior, a Messiah, an anointed one to come and to save his people from their sins. And so after some time, we see the exile ends and they're allowed to come back into Israel, the land of Israel. But yet things aren't what they once were. The Savior still hasn't come yet. The temple isn't what it once was. And God's people are waiting. God's people are waiting. And so when this angel bursts onto the scene and says, I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. Indeed, it was good news. What the angel was announcing was that it has happened. What has been promised, what you have been waiting for, maybe even what you have forgotten, maybe even what you have lost hope in that you thought would ever happen, that it would ever come to pass, it has come. And I bring you great news of great joy for all the people. It is not just for some. It is for everyone. And the angel makes this announcement. And part of it is interesting because it's anticipatory of what the object of that announcement is going to be next. As he makes this announcement, he's not telling you yet the content of it. I just bring you great news, or good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Christ, the Lord. And he gets to the point. I don't know if some of you, when it comes to Christmas time, with the spouses trying to figure out gifts, maybe for the kids or maybe it's for grandparents, but have you ever been in a situation where either the child comes running in or one spouse isn't quite in the know as much as the other spouse according to what's been gifted or given. And this person reaches out to you and they're all excited and they're saying, thank you so much. Oh, this is great. So thank you so much for this. It's really going to make a difference in my life. I really appreciate this gift. And you're sitting there going, I don't know what I gave them. Or you're looking to your spouse going, what did we give them? You know, it's a little bit like that here with the angel of the Lord. You know, not that the shepherds were on the edge of their seat, but it's like, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. And it's building up this kind of anticipation. What is it? What is it? Tell me. What is it? And so the angel, he gets to it. And he says, I bring you good news of great joy. That'll be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Christ the Lord. Why was this such a big deal? Why was there such exuberance? You can understand from an angel's perspective, who dwells in heaven, who sees this glory, breaking out, saying, he's come. God in the flesh, the Messiah, do you realize this? He has come. Hope is fulfilled. Do you realize how amazing this is? And maybe sometimes we don't realize it. Or maybe you don't realize it because we don't realize, what is it I need to be saved from? What is that? Why is it such good news? Why should it fill me with such joy? Why should it do any of those things? How is this exciting? Why should I be celebrating? We have to understand what he was coming to save us from. You see, there was a problem, not just a problem for Israel, but a problem for all people. You see, God created all that there is. He created you and me. He created all mankind. The creation, look around you. He's created all things. And he created things that they work best when you follow the way he has designed it. That we are going to be most satisfied, most content, most at peace in him when we follow and seek after him. And that's the way he designed things. That's the way he built it. But yet something went wrong. Back in the garden, the first man, the first woman created, put on the earth, Adam and Eve, were commanded to enjoy what he had given them, to be stewards, to care for them, to be fruitful and multiply. And he gave him all these things, but he said, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And yet they couldn't keep their hands off of it. And Eve takes the fruit and she eats it. And she gives some to Adam, he eats it. And then something awful, something horrible, something so bad that you wish you could go back. If I could go back in a time machine and turn back the clock, I would do it. So that this would not enter the world. And it's sin. Breaking God's law. Thumbing your nose at him and saying, I want what I want, and I'm going to do things my way. I will be on the throne, not you. And something horrible came into this world that damaged relationships. Relationship with God. Relationship with one another. Relationship with the creation. Things were under a curse. Now there's this thing called sin that has entered the world, and things don't work as they should. Relationships don't function as they should. And now things are breaking down. But even in the early dawn of time, even after that took place, God in his grace promises that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent. He promises there will be a seed, one to come, that will crush his head. And even in that moment when we deserve death, he promises life through that seed. And as you go throughout Scripture, that whole theme goes, that whole thread is throughout Scripture, traced through. And you're looking, waiting for someone. And here he's come. And why this is good news of great joy is that because he has come, God has kept his promise. He promised his Son who would come and live a sinless, perfect life, keeping the law perfectly, doing what we could not do. And then he would die on the cross as if he had broken that very law so that you and I could have life, life everlasting, and not be left in our sins, not be condemned to his wrath forever and ever and ever and ever, but we would have life. Good news of great joy for all the people. The exuberance that breaks out. It's no wonder that heaven breaks out. Heaven can't be quiet in this scene. Not only does the angel come, but then after his announcement, you can't help it, but the heavenly hosts break out into space and time, proclaiming glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom are of His good will or His good pleasure. They couldn't help but break out because it is good news of great joy for all the people. And because of that, we have peace. You notice there in verse 14, it says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. The result of all of this is that there is peace with God. There is no longer His wrath and curse upon us for our sin, but rather there is peace. As Paul said in Romans 5:1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Because of the atonement, the sacrifice that Jesus would pay. I know today we're talking about His birth, but He came and continued to walk toward the cross where He would pay that penalty for our sin so that we could have life through faith in Him. Peace. Not only is there incredible joy at this announcement, but it should overflow into our hearts because we have real peace with God. The problem has been dealt with. Sin has been dealt with. And we have peace through Jesus Christ. There are various responses in this passage. The shepherds started with fear, great fear. But they ended leaving with praising and glorifying God. The angels praised and glorified. Mary ponders and she wonders in her heart. The people marvel. What's your response this morning as you hear this? What kind of response hits you? Maybe you've heard this story a lot, and it's just kind of washing over you once again. You know, it's a prayer, as I was telling the kids, I want that in my own life. I don't want it just to wash over me. I want to take it in. I want to overflow with joy every time that I think about it, that I preach on it, that I talk about it. I want to overflow with that joy. I don't want it to become normal. I don't want it to become casual. What is your response this morning? Do you have a mix of the emotions that were portrayed in this passage? Fear. Marveling. Wondering. Pondering. Praising. Glorifying. What kind of response this morning works in you as you read this story once again? I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. This indeed is good news of great joy for all the people because through faith in Jesus Christ, our biggest problem has been dealt with. That which we needed, saved from, has been dealt with. Our sins. And so I want to exhort you this morning to believe, to trust in that good news of great joy that is for all the people. Jesus Christ, who came, died on the cross so that you could have life through faith in Him. Taste it. Savor it. Take it in once again. Meditate on it. Run it around in your mind. And hear this. It is good news of great joy that is for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, Christ, our Savior, Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father, what incredible grace you have shown to us. What incredible mercy you have shown to us in sending your Son. You kept your promise. You sent your Son, for without him there is no hope for us. We are lost in our sins. But yet you sent him. And we have heard the good news of great joy. And Father, we want our hearts to overflow with joy because your Son has come and he died and he paid that penalty and he rose again from the grave and he ascended into heaven and he is seated with you. And because of that, we can have life through faith in him. Father, this is incredible news. Good news. Help us to have joy and help that to overflow out of our hearts so that we would share that good news of great joy with others, that we would want them to come and see and hear this good news of great joy that is for all the people, for a Savior, Christ the Lord has come, through whom we have life. Thank you, Father. We ask all this in your name.